So, a double portion this week, and it comes from, it starts in Deuteronomy 29. And we're going to be talking about covenants today. And there are many people who say there are multiple covenants. I mean, in fact, everyone says there are multiple covenants throughout Scripture, right? There's the Noahic covenant, there's the Mosaic covenant. There's just, you know, there are the five and six covenants. And some people think different covenants to different people. But I'm of the belief that really it's one covenant to all people. Now, it may be said different ways at different times, maybe to the different audiences that he was speaking to at the time that Adonai was speaking to. But it really is one group, one covenant that shows his love, because it's one Adonai, one God, that he loves all his people. So we're going to start reading from Deuteronomy 29, 11 and 12. And I'll read that. You probably saw it at home, but I'll read it anyway. You are standing today, all of you, before Adonai your God, the heads of your tribes, your elders, your officials, all the men of Israel, your children, your wives, the outsider within your camps, from your wood choppers to your water carriers. Each of you is to cross over into the covenant of Adonai your God that he is cutting with you today, and into his oath. Now, the first point to look at there is it says from your wood choppers to your water carriers. Because let's remember who they were. They actually were the people who Israel had already been triumphant over in going through the land. They were actually people who were prisoners of war and became their slaves. They're the people who did the menial labor. And this is quite important, because this shows the importance of not that Adonai didn't care just for Israel, but to all peoples. So that's really important for us. Now, verse 11, the word for crossover is avar. And there are a few definitions for avar. It means to pass over or go through, to alienate, to bring, to carry, to take away, to take, to transgress. Now, most of the time that avar is used, it is a traveling word. It means to go from one boundary to another, or from one land to another. But it's also used to convey the idea of moving from one state of being with Adonai to another. I think we're caught up now. Thank you all for sitting through that a second time. Okay, so from one state of being with Adonai to another. So, for example, from being out of covenant to being into covenant with Adonai. Or just the opposite, from being in covenant to being out of covenant. You would use the word avar as well. It's also used to mean sin or transgression of Adonai's Torah or law. In other words, going from the light to the dark is another way of saying it, or from dark to light. In our opening verse, it's Adonai who is making the covenant with Israel, and they are moving from the dark to the light, going from a people of Israel, a people of Adonai, but not necessarily in covenant, to a people of a covenant now. But there are times that it's used as transgression. We should know these. The words rendered transgression actually 18 times in Scripture. So just a couple of examples. Psalm 17:3 says, "You have examined my heart. You searched me at night. Though you test me, you find nothing. I resolve that my mouth will not sin." That word sin is avar. And Hosea 6:7, "But like Adam, they transgressed a covenant. They were they dealt treacherously with me." And transgressed is avar. So we see a couple of times It's not always that it's not always a travel, but it's sometimes that spiritual movement of going places as well. And it's not just men who avar. It's not just always us who does it. Adonai does as well. Deuteronomy 31:3 says, Adonai your God, he will cross over before you. He will destroy those nations from before you, and you will dispose them. Joshua will cross over before you, just as Adonai has promised. The same word for crossover, where it says Adonai will cross over, is used there, avar. So it's not just that act of moving, a man moving from place to place, but it's also an act of making covenant, because God was making a covenant with us at that same time as he was getting us ready to move into the promised land. So what we see in this verse today is about everyone coming into covenant with them. It wasn't just the Israelites. It was everyone before them. He made sure that they brought them all before him, and they all went into covenant with him. And it's great news for us, because it's confirmation that Adonai intends to be a covenant-keeping God, one that we can depend upon all the time, one who, regardless of what the other party in the covenant does, which would be us, he will not abandon. Now, does that mean that just because God makes a covenant with us, and let's be honest, no, let's not just be honest, let's just get to the point that a covenant is not the same as a contract. A contract says, if you do this, I'll do this. A covenant says, I'm going to do this for you. Period. There is no other side of it. There's no second side to a covenant. It says, I'm the greater vassal, and I'm going to cover you. So in the old days, a king would make a covenant with his people. I am greater, and I will protect you. Well, that's what Adonai does as well. He makes the covenant with us. He's the one who will keep it, regardless of what we do. Now, that doesn't mean that we have free reign to do whatever we want. We still should be a covenant-keeping people as well. Each day we should strive to be better and better at keeping the covenant with him. Covenant keeping for us means a wholeheartedness to him. Even as the part of the Shema says, and we say it every Shabbat, Deuteronomy, it comes from Deuteronomy 6:5, love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words which I am commanding you today are to be on your heart. We are called to love Adonai with a wholeheartedness. And on Adonai's part, as he says he will do, he will do. And he will do it the same way, with a wholeheartedness towards us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So let's take a look at a couple of verses to remind us of this, because that's very important. So I wanted to take a verse from the New and the Old, or at least one from each, one from the Tanakh and one from the Brit Hakadoshah. So let's take a look at Psalm 136, verses 2 and 3. Give thanks to the Lord of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. There are no conditions set forth there. His love just endures forever. Forever and ever, you could even say. And a couple of more times of ever's there. His love endures regardless of our part, what we do. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily that there won't be any punishments if we do wrong, but his love endures. He does it out of love. And let's take a look at Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord, our Adonai. Doesn't matter present nor things to come. Doesn't matter how high or low you go. His love will not separate from us. It's just impossible. It's just one of those things that's impossible for God to do. God will not lie, and God's love will not separate from us. Regardless of who we are, regardless of whether you believe in Messiah Yeshua, regardless of even if you believe that there is an Adonai, his love is still there with everybody. He's like, as I said during the Torah portion, he's like that parent who's just waiting for the child to turn around to say, peekaboo, I love you. He's still there, even for those who don't recognize him yet. He never gives up on people. Not you, not me, not anybody. When talking about covenants, Scripture actually doesn't say anything or instruct us how to make a covenant with Adonai. Oh, come on now. Stop that. Well, that clacking. He never instructs us how to make a covenant. You know why? It's not our part to make a covenant. Adonai makes the covenant, and we just walk in it. Or and regardless of whether you choose to obey the Torah or not to obey the Torah, you're still walking in the covenant. Because the covenant says, if you do well, I will bless you. If you don't do well, there are curses. And those curses are just to get us to turn around. They're not really to harm us. Satan may want to harm us. Adonai does not want to harm us, regardless of where we're walking. That's not who he is. So we walk in faith. That's our part. That's what we're called to do. Just walk in faith. We know that in Leviticus 17, it says that life is in the blood of the animal, which is why it gets given to us as a sacrifice. And it's our faith of that blood. It's the faith, not just of the blood, but who gave the blood that gives us life. That's the point of the sacrifice. It's not that the blood was magical. There's no magic in the blood. It's the faith that we offer it, that gives us salvation. We know that when we act in faith, we're extended grace. It was in the old covenant. It is in the new covenant. We don't purchase. We don't earn. There's no way of grabbing it and stealing it. There's no, you know, grace and atonement. By the sacrifices, it's not earned. It's just that faith walking gift that he gives us. If the sacrifices actually were to purchase it, then Adonai would have no choice but to bless us all the time if we made the sacrifices. But we know that's not the case. By Isaiah 1, we're told that there was a time that the sacrifices were not accepted. So Isaiah 1, 10 and 11 says, hear the word of Adonai, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the Torah of our God, you people of Gomorrah, worthless offerings. For what is it to me, the multitudes of your sacrifices, says Adonai? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and fat of fed animals. I have no delight in the blood of bulls or of the lambs or he-goats. They were making the offerings. The blood was being spilled. But Adonai says, I don't accept them. Why? Because he was pointing them back to Torah. He was pointing them back to faith. He was pointing them back. They were making offerings, but they still had other gods. They didn't have the faith that Adonai is the one and only true God. So he was pointing them back to Torah and saying, I am the one and only true God. Faith was the reason their offerings weren't accepted. Faith. See, you can still do your offerings. You can still keep going. You can still say the right words. You can still do the right actions. You know, you can give to to the Isaiah 58 project. You can bring your clothes and your food in. You can drop your tithes and offerings in the basket. But without the faith of Adonai, it means nothing. You can't buy. You can't buy the love of God. You can't buy the path to salvation. It's a gift, but it's a gift because you have the faith in who's offering it. You know, there are many who say that the old covenant was replaced by the new covenant. The faith in Messiah Yeshua replaces the blood of bulls and goats and rams and all of that. But really, it's the same faith. It's never been earned. They want to say that the sacrifices of the bulls and goats of the old covenant was earning their atonement. But it wasn't earning their atonement. It was the faith behind it that was making atonement for them. So it never really is a replacement of a works-based covenant. Because the old covenant really is a faith-based covenant. People don't understand that. They want to say the old covenant is works-based, but it's not. It's faith-based. If it was work-based, then what? There's magic in the blood. There's no magic in the blood. What we do know is that the God of the old covenant is the same as the God of the new covenant. Adonai, there's only one. And his ways are the same. Because he's not a man that he should change his mind. I'm going to try to move my pack again. Try to keep it from crackling. Let's try this. He's not a God who should change his mind. Therefore, we know that it's faith that brings salvation. As we're told in Ephesians 2, starting in verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself. It's a gift from God. It is not based on deeds, so that no one may boast. It's a gift from God and not based on deeds. And it's the same for us today. That's why, even if you're going through the motions, if you don't have the right heart attitude, it doesn't matter. The heart attitude or faith was required in the Brit Hadashah, or the New Covenant, and it's the same heart attitude that's required in the New Covenant as well. If the sacrifices of the Old Covenant were made, but they weren't made with the right attitude, as we heard in Isaiah 1, It wouldn't matter. They just wouldn't be accepted. Look what Rav Shaul wrote to the people of Galatia. He could just have been easily be writing to the people of Moses. The truth for the Galatians is still the truth for us today, just like it was the truth for the Israelites as they were just about to enter into the land, the promised land. And we know this because God doesn't change. Galatians 3:5. So then, the one who gives you the Ruach and works miracles among you, does he do it because of the deeds based on Torah, or your hearing based on trust and faithfulness? What does Rav Shaul ask them? Is it the actions of Torah or the hearing and trusting of in the faithfulness of Adonai that brings salvation? It's always been the hard attitude behind the behind the sacrifices that caused the grace of Adonai, even during temple times. That's why we can read forward in Galatians 3:6 through 11, this whole paragraph here, just as Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, know then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. The scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, proclaimed the good news to Abraham in advance, saying, all the nations shall be blessed through you. So then, the faithful are blessed along with Abraham, the faithful one. For all who rely on the deeds of Torah are under a curse. For the scripture says, cursed is everyone who does not keep doing everything written in the scroll of the Torah. It is clear that no one is set right before God by Torah. For the righteous shall live by Numa, by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Did Adonai change his mind, or did he really plan to hide the true way of salvation from his people, Israel? He's the same God. The truth now is the truth in the time of the Galatians, which is the same truth because truth doesn't change, even back in the times just before they were about to enter into the promised land. Always the truth. Truth does not change, regardless of how many years pass. And this is why it goes on to say in the next verse of Galatians, in verse 12, however, Torah is not based on trust and faithfulness. On the contrary, the one who does these things shall live by them. Now, this is a quote from Leviticus 18:5. Shaul's able to quote from Leviticus because it always was the truth. And does it say that Torah did not lead to life? No. It's not saying Torah does not lead to life. What it says is those who do only the acts of Torah live only by the acts of Torah. Salvation comes when you combine the faith or trust in Torah with the scriptures, with the actions that are prescribed. Then the actions were the sacrifices of bulls and rams, and now the action is the acceptance of Messiah Yeshua. It's always faith. It's always the same form of salvation, right? Normally we say it's the blood. Just like it was the blood of Leviticus 17, it's the blood of Messiah Yeshua. Just like it was really faith in the blood of the bulls and the goats and the rams of Leviticus. It's the faith of the blood of Messiah Yeshua. It's always been faith. Faith is nothing more than a heart attitude. Faith is who you trust. Faith is who you follow. Faith is believing what he says and acting on what he says. It's not a different covenant. It's not a different way of salvation. It's the same way. It's the hard attitude that brings salvation. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you that you are our salvation. You are our salvation that you sent Messiah Yeshua to the earth, walking out life to show us how to live, and then dying by shedding his blood so that we may have faith in that shed blood towards our salvation. And then you sent the Ruach HaKodesh, Messiah Yeshua sent the Ruach HaKodesh to us to help us walk out our life in faith. And through that faith is our salvation. We thank you that even for those who are not walking in faith right now, who do not believe Messiah Yeshua is their Messiah, is their salvation, that all they need do is turn to you. Read the Word. Read your scriptures. Read your Old Covenant. And hear the faith that was behind the words. And then look at the New Covenant and the parallels. It's the same words. It's the same blood. It's the same faith. It's the same salvation because it's the same God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. The Lord is God. The Lord is one. There's only one God. The words of the Old Covenant live on to today. You are the one God then. You are the one God now. And we thank you for your blessing in showing us who you are in our life and even in our world. As it seems to be going crazy, you're the one who we can hold on to, knowing that you will bring us through. Bring us through this life and bring us through to the world to come, to salvation forevermore, to being before your throne. I pray for each of us that we hear the words, well done, good, faithful servant, that each of us would be faithful, having the faith to act out everything that you would have us do. For those who do not yet know you, Ruach HaKodesh, I ask that you rise up in their life, removing blinders from their eyes, unstopping their ears to actually hear the words of Torah, and not the words of rabbinic interpretations. Let them hear your words directly and make decisions on their own. We just thank you that you allow us to do that. We thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen.